I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Les Hang Out, the podcast that caught your eye over the oat milk at Trader Joe's, and I'm pretty sure there might have been something there, so if that was you, please reach out.
I'm hitting reply to your
From the West Coast, I'm Lee Holmes Foster.
And from the East Coast, I'm Ellie Brigida. To those of you who've been with us through this whole journey, thank you as always for listening. If you're a new listener, welcome. We're excited to have you here. Here's what's happening this week.
This week in the Lesdom.
This week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. We want to remind you all that we have our Croatia trip coming up next September. We are super excited about it. We have had one more person sign up, so we have 12 spots filled and 6 left, with 2 early bird spots still open. So if you want to sign up, you can do that at bit.ly/lesdocroatia.
6 spots left. Better get on those.
I know, right?
Also want to remind everyone, season 6, we are now releasing bonus Patreon episodes for all of our Patreon supporters. Our most recent one came out a couple weeks back. That was on Everything Everywhere All at Once. And our next one coming out on February 27th, so in just a few weeks, is going to be on Fire Island. We had a blast talking about this movie.
It's our first gay men movie.
I know. We were excited.
Crazy. Also, February 27th is my birthday, so everyone remember
it is,
that.
I forgot. Well, happy birthday to you. We're releasing
happy birthday
Patreon
to
bonus
me,
episode.
Fire Island. Also, we were nominated for a Queerty Award for Best Podcast, so you can vote until February 21st, once every single day, at bit.ly/lesvote.
On some trivia news, we have some sad news, which is that we are going to cancel or reschedule our L Word Generation Q trivia event that was planned for February 16th. If you did buy tickets for that, we'll be sending a refund your way. We are going to be reaching out a little bit more to see where there is some interest in trivia events, because these we've just been seeing less interest than we had seen in previous times. So if you're interested in doing online trivia, and specifically if you have shows or topics or things like that that you would want to get tickets for, please email us, DM us, send us some ideas of what people want to do, because we are here. We want to host these events and we want everyone to have a good time. Our next planned trivia, we're going to announce it a little in advance so that people know, and we're going to see if that helps get a little bit more interest. We are planning our next trivia event for Yellow Jackets. So we're planning a trivia event for the Yellow Jackets premiere that will be all on season one, just in time for season two to kick up. So that's going to be on March 26th at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, and buzz buzz, we hope to see you all there.
Yes, and afterwards we'll all watch the show together, which will be really fun. In the Greater Les universe, Janelle Monáe's new track drops February 16th. It is called Float. We cannot wait.
It's been many years since a new Janelle Monáe track, so we are excited.
And Janelle Monáe is just fire.
Yeah, they're everything.
Yes.
We also want to shout out at the Grammys that Unholy won for Best Pop Duo or Group Performance. So shouting out both Sam Smith and Kim Petras, who was the first trans woman to win in that category. And Sam Smith, obviously also non-binary. So just queer wins all around.
Queer all around. Also, that song is a banger. Love it.
A bop.
That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee. We are so excited to bring you episode 13 of season 6, Missed Queer Nections. And I had to like get my mouth around that one. Mm-hmm. And we are joined
I won't
by
make any comments on that.
Oh no, already out the gate. I'm ignoring Ellie, and we are joined by a very special guest today, Elle Mills, who's one of the most buzzed about content creators on YouTube. She has a following of over 3.1 million across all social platforms. She's a true storyteller, creating short films on YouTube that speak to the awkward and hilarious coming of age experience in today's society, and now is writing and directing and sharing her passion for storytelling in the traditional filmmaking space. She just released her directorial debut short film Reply that's been acquired by Creator Plus and won the Festival Honor Award at Buffer Festival. Oh my gosh, Elle, hi, welcome.
Hello. Hello. Thank you for having me.
We are so excited to have you here and super excited to talk about your new short film. Why don't you just tell our audience a little bit about your short film Reply?
So Reply is a queer romance. It's set in the 2000s. It's kind of inspired because I grew up loving 2000s romance films. And so I kind of wanted, like, the dream was always to make a queer one. So about this boy who makes this film after finding a bunch of his mom's old videotapes from the summer of 2006, where summer before she went to college, and as like a last project before leaving her hometown, she decides to build a treehouse. And during the process, she meets her new neighbor and things happen. I'm not very good at explaining
that's
it.
Good.
But,
no, that's good. Yeah. That is definitely a good explanation. I definitely got those vibes from it, of the 2000s stuff. What's your favorite? What are your favorite like 2000s rom-coms? I know that's a difficult question.
I think my guilty pleasure is John Tucker Must Die. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
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 It's a classic. Yeah. Yes. I love that. I mean, like, She's the Man. Early on, I loved the Lizzie McGuire movie.
Yep.
Classic. Gosh, what else? What else? Do you guys have any favorites?
I have a lot, but for me, well, I don't know if is this even the 2000s? Maybe this is the 90s. 10 Things I Hate About You. I love
yes.
that one.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Listen, my go-to early aughts, like our obsession when I was in high school, because my comfort watches with my best friend were Princess Diaries and Moulin mm-hmm. Rouge. So,
ooh.
Yeah. An era of filmmaking.
Yes.
Know?
Yes. Yes. I think, too, there's part of your YouTube channel you've compared yourself to, like, Ferris Bueller, too, right? Mm. Which I love.
Oh, yeah.
I love, like, that, like, I think even when we got your bio, there was like something in it about like the John Hughes of YouTube.
I know,
or
I
something.
Trimmed it down. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry.
Which no, I yeah.
I loved.
No, yeah. I mean, it was like, I found it like hard to explain my video style. And so I feel like I kind of narrowed, over the years, I narrowed it down to imagine if Ferris Bueller had a YouTube channel. I think it's the easiest way to yeah. get it across to people who have no clue.
I love it. And like watching it had those good nostalgia vibes plus the queerness. Maybe you can't tell us about any of your newer projects, but are you thinking about trying to make a more long form queer rom-com at some point?
No, yeah, for sure. I mean, the past year I've been, I think after making Reply, because that was my first time writing and directing, and it's been a big dream of mine, but I've always been afraid to jump into it just because I haven't gone to film school. I don't really know like all the technical side of things, but after that, it kind of really turned my life upside down, and I've been working and writing for the past year on a feature, which it isn't a long form of Reply, but I'd say Reply is a good, it sets the world in the heart of like kind of what a queer romance from me would look like. And so, yeah, hopefully I'm working on like the third draft of it. So I've been experiencing a writer's block, but hopefully it'll be done in the next few months.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's awesome. I watched some of the videos on your YouTube channel about it, but like it definitely seems like it makes sense as next steps for you, because even in your like older YouTube videos, I feel like just like your editing is more film style in a way, mm-hmm. even for the like more, this is a YouTube video. I think I just feel like you have a good eye for it. That's my compliment to you.
Thank you. That's so much. All.
Yes. Let's talk a little bit just like about the missed queernection of it all, which is the title of this episode. Because, you know, I don't want to super spoil it, I guess, but we sort of have to have this conversation.
Yeah.
But basically the storyline, right, is that these two girls meet, form this connection that is clearly very queer. But one of them has a boyfriend, is like, this is the path that my life, quote unquote, should take. Mm-hmm. And they sort of miss that opportunity. Have you had any experiences like that that informed this? Where it's
no. I didn't want to say that early on, but
no, it's okay.
I mean, I've definitely had like it. I would say connections that were never meant to be, mm-hmm. you know. But definitely missed connections. But yeah, when I look back now, I mean, like at the time, obviously, I'm like I'm always like they're the one that got away. But looking back in hindsight, I think all of them, yeah. weren't meant to be. So.
Yeah, I feel like that's also like a maturity in that, right? Of like you could, it's like quote unquote the one that got away, but then like in yeah. your current life, you're like, actually, no, I'm good. Like it's yeah, okay. Yeah. It's great.
Ellie, what are you saying about our meet cute over the oat milk?
I know. It well, we missed our moment, Lee, and so it's true. Never coming back again.
it's gone now. It's okay. It's fine.
I love. Actually, let's do a quick exercise that maybe I will completely not be able to do.
Okay,
what's
great.
The gayest misconnection? Lee made a good one at the beginning. Like, it can be completely fake, but like, what's the gayest misconnection you can think of? I'm like, I saw you in line at the Hayley Kiyoko concert. I was wearing black Converse with a rainbow on the side. And I was with my girlfriend at the time, but like it's like just gay.
Okay, I feel like it's gonna be like we were in the bathroom of
ooh,
like
bathroom is
local
a good one,
lesbian
honestly.
Bar, and uh-huh. you needed a tampon, and like, but I think our fingers brushed when I handed it to you, and like there might have been a spark there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm here for it, Elle. What about you? What do you think is the gayest?
No. I don't like, know don't if we can talk to your guys. Oh gosh, I'm so like I'm really bad at improv. Like I was on the improv team in high school, and we got last place.
Out of competitions. How many?
I think like there was like two or three.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
not too bad. That's not
too bad.
That's
not bad.
Yeah,
it's not
yeah.
horrible.
That's still meddling. That's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
You really got a bronze medal, even for last place, so you're fine. Yeah,
I think you gotta turn that spin on for that. Like, I was third place in my improv team in high school. Yeah, there you go.
I'm gonna tell a quick story. You think about it. Write it down.
Okay.
So. I don't know.
I'm just going to keep thinking up more. We'll be here all night.
The bathroom just sparked something for me.
I'm really excited for this story.
So this is not a Miss Queernection for me. This is somebody else who thinks that I'm their Miss Queernection, but this story just cracks me up every time, and it's actually bad. Okay, so I was in the bathroom at a gay bar, right? And this girl,
I was so on with that. Look at
this
that.
This girl comes up to me and she goes, I went up to her and I was like, are you waiting for anyone? Okay. And I was thinking, like, are you waiting for anyone or are you in line for the bathroom?
Right.
Like, I just need to know if I can use this stall. Right. And she's like, yes. Okay. So I go to the bathroom. I do not think about that interaction at all. Month or two later, this girl messages me on Instagram and is like, hey, I just wanted to let you know, I was so upset when you said, are you waiting for someone? And I unfortunately had to say yes, but I'm not with that girl anymore. So, like, I figured, like,
oh my God. She thought that was your pickup line?
And I was like, it was not meant to be. It was not meant to be. But that has stuck with me forever. So whenever I am in the line for the bathroom, like, I can't use that phrase.
Wow.
I'm like, you, like, lesbians are like, either you were hitting on them and they have no clue, or you said the most, like, not hitting on you thing and they're like,
yeah.
Oh,
or you
really,
like, bumped into them and you were like, oh, sorry. And they were like, the love of my life.
Yes. But the fact that she thought about it for months.
Wow.
Months. And then
hey,
I don't know
but
how she found
was shooting
me.
Her shot.
And then,
Ellie.
I don't know how she found me on Instagram because I did not talk to this person. I said that one sentence to her, and that was
it. Are you questioning lesbians' ability?
I know, like, you know, it's easy enough to stalk people, but
social media hunt someone
down.
Was
you could be a fan.
That was something else. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right.
Are you waiting for someone?
Are you waiting for someone?
That's a move, Ellie. That's it. That's the move. Go in the bathroom. Listen up.
I was in the bathroom. You asked me, was I waiting for someone? I unfortunately was. Like, that's the kicker, too, where she was
incredible.
So sad. She was like, I'm like, that poor girl she was with, too. That was something. Yeah. Have you thought of anything else?
Okay. I just was, all I've gotten is gay astrology. So I'm
okay,
like,
yes,
something
yes.
with
got
astrology.
It. Mm-hmm.
You read my tarot cards last week.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Got the lover's card.
Mm-hmm. Done. Yeah.
That's it. It's perfect.
Thanks, guys.
Listeners,
you just
if you
gotta
have any
think of the stereotypes.
Send it to us.
That's all. You just gotta be like, we were at the dog park and your German Shepherd really loved
the dog
my...
park.
Yeah.
That's
I mean,
good.
You gotta, there's like too many options.
We were at the MSPCA. I was waiting with my cat to go to the emergency room. And you were waiting with the cat of the same color.
Okay, I'm going to tie
Sorry,
us back to the movie now.
Night, but...
We were at Home Depot. I was picking
yes.
up lumber.
Yes.
You were good working one. At Home Depot, obviously. Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
That's good. A really good one.
On that note, are you a crafty gay? Like, could you have built that treehouse?
Oh, no. Literally not at all. I'm not good with
so
I'm
you
gonna,
would
I'm about
have
to
been...
not good with my hands, but not good with craft.
Everyone disregard that last thing.
Yeah.
Just bleep it out, Ellie.
Yeah,
bleep
yeah.
it out.
So you would have been, what was she doing? Hammering
oh,
a screw?
Yes, screws. Yes. Mm-hmm. I would have been Casey. Yes.
Yeah. I do feel like every relationship, though, like as you have the yin and the yang, you need the gay who cannot build and the gay who can build. Because
Absolutely.
That's me and my girlfriend. Like, she's a Home Depot lesbian.
Uh-huh.
And I... watch
my,
you're like
me, my
I am a
too.
Make a cocktail and sit
the
here lesbian
cheerleader
yes there you go
and that you're doing great sweetie
yeah
yes.
No literally me and my girlfriend too mm-hmm. she like completely renovated a whole van
that's cool
I could not not me couldn't be me
Yeah, I get it. But yeah, you need both. Like, otherwise, your house is going to have just a bunch of, like, incomplete furniture.
Well, actually, I can build furniture. If there's instructions, I can.
IKEA furniture you can do, but not.
I can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Very proud of myself for being able to do that.
I had this idea, which honestly you can take if you want to use it for your YouTube channel, because I will never do it. That it was a dating show plus IKEA with lesbians.
Okay.
So you give two, it's like a blind date, right? Two queer people have to make IKEA furniture together. And at the end, they decide if they're compatible and they want to go on a date.
I like that. That's really cute.
But I will never do it. So if you,
that's
you
like
know.
A recipe for disaster. It's bad.
But that's the thing. If they start fighting, it's not meant to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If they actually successfully complete the furniture, they could be soulmates.
They can move in together.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, then you.
Actually, the end of the show, by the end of the show, they built enough furniture that they could put it in a house.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have to keep progressing through the levels until you have a full furniture set, mm-hmm. and then you build a house.
And then you all together.
And then yeah. you live yes. in that house. After
Listen,
you've done
can
it.
I... Can I tell you, because I honestly thought, so in the movie, the first time that you meet Hayden's character, right, she's like moving out of her little U-Haul. I legit thought that they were going to like need to borrow, like she would need to borrow her U-Haul and then they would meet like in, I was waiting for like the U-Haul scene, like driving it and just being like, lesbians in a U-Haul, there you go. I was so
I
ready
have.
For it.
But I instead, really should have.
Instead, we Home Depot'd, and I think that's equally good, you
yes.
know? Also valid.
Yes. I never noticed how, yeah, the U-Haul, like, the building.
I
never made that connection. I guess I was just subconscious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to write a queer love story, it's just, like, it just flows.
Yeah.
It
exactly.
just makes sense. Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about your, like, YouTube to film journey, mm-hmm. because I just also watched one of the videos on your channel. What is it? What happened to Elle Mills?
Yes.
Is that the, yeah. And I would love for you to just speak on that and speak about mm-hmm. your experience, because it really resonated with me.
Yeah. So I made it's kind of my last video, and I wanted to, I don't know, because I didn't want it to be this thing of, like, fuck YouTube. Like, it's never been that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I've been doing YouTube since I was a kid, but like full time as a teenager. And so I kind of grew up on camera, and there were a lot of things, like consequences, that I'm still dealing with because of the success of that. I don't know, like a lot of my relationships. I'm really condensing my life story
yeah, yeah.
here.
But, yeah.
Yeah, like, I think there's also like that YouTube grind. I don't know. Once you ride that high, it's like addicting, and I don't know. There's like a lot of crazy stuff I was doing and pushing myself. And like, I don't know. There was just like, I guess, like a lot of things that I think because of like my career, I started to experience panic attacks, and I became depressed, and I was unsure why, because I've like, ever since I was a kid, I've loved making stuff, I've loved creating, and so it was very confusing, and it was also not great that I was experiencing all of that publicly. And so, I mean, over the course of the years, I've kind of been very vocal about like that burnout. I made a video a few years ago called Burnt Out at 19, where I was very raw, and that's another thing. Like, I was very growing, like I was very impulsive about documenting my life as a teenager, and I've there's like videos of me having mental breakdowns like online, and that Burnt Out at 19 has kind of shows that, and like what the behind the scenes of my career was looking like. So yeah, I mean, all of that, like I think it's just once the pandemic hit, I think it's like, I mean, for everyone, it kind of just changed everything. I think it put things in perspective for me, and I taking some time away, realize I'm like, this is, I don't know. It just wasn't for me anymore, but I still loved creating. And so I wrote the script because I had the time to, and then I made Reply. And I think that's when I kind of decided, I was like, I think it's time to shift and end this chapter of my life, because I feel like YouTube is like my college years, my teenage years. And, you know, I think it needs to be normalized on YouTube that I think it's okay to leave and like, yeah, end on a good note. You know, I'm not enjoying it. And a reason I started YouTube was like, I didn't make money for the first few years on it. I just loved making stuff. And by the end, I realized I wasn't enjoying that, and I was doing it for the money. So it's like, okay, it's time to, I don't know, change something. I feel like I'm rambling.
No, it's okay. We're just listening.
It's like,
I mean, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And it is very, I think it's a side of social media that we're starting to talk more about. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of these social media platforms are still pretty young when you think about it.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. So, like, people like you who started on YouTube when they were young, it's mm-hmm. like, it makes sense that, like, that's so stressful to be in the public eye like that mm-hmm. from a young age. And I'm personally glad that you're
not at a young age. I mean,
even as adults, yeah, it's like, so stressful to be putting yourself under a microscope.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you've reframed that for yourself, because I'm like, I'm a performer and like, I feel like I understand that when you're like, why is something that I love not feel good anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
it's really important to take a minute to be like, okay, I do love this, and here's how I'm gonna like really make sure I'm doing this because I love it.
No, yeah. I mean, it's like also like with like YouTube and just social media in general, like you are the product, you know? And that becomes dangerous, because like your self-worth becomes so intertwined with your career, and it's a dangerous thing.
Well, I guess invasive is like the first word that's coming to mind too, to like, I mean, I'm just thinking even of, like, I know I talked to, we put out a musical last year, like a podcast musical. So like a Broadway show, but make it a podcast. And I was talking to Jasmine Savoy Brown, who starred opposite Ellie in it. And because I wrote all the music for it. And she now is, I mean, obviously has like her acting career, but is also doing a lot more music and stuff. And I was talking to her about writing music, and I was like, I'm always in awe of people who just like write their own stuff and then like perform it themselves, like with like just songs where you're like, here's a song that I wrote like about my life and stuff, and I'm like, could not a chance. And I, you know, I'm like, I love writing music for us, like for the stuff we do. I'll write Ellie songs. I'm like, Ellie, I will so happily write you a song, like whatever you want, like I'll write it for you. The idea of like writing a song about like me and then just like putting it out there, I'm like, oh my god, that feels like so like that hits too close to home.
No, yeah.
I'm like, the idea of spending like your entire teenage years with just like putting your whole like life mm-hmm. out on camera like that, like, yeah, I mean, that's just, it is, we take for granted, I think, the idea that people are even willing to do that now, because that's not a thing that used mm-hmm. to exist, you know, like that's a pretty recent development in like humankind's history that I don't think we are evolved for yet, really, you know?
No, yeah, for sure. And I just think like YouTube and social media in general like really promotes this idea of like sharing your vulnerability. And I totally get what you're saying about like music and stuff. Like, I feel like with my YouTube videos, that was like kind of my art form.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be vulnerable, and I wanted, like, that was my way of expressing myself. And yeah, I mean, like, I feel like vulnerability also equals like views. People want to see, people want to be, it is invasive. People want to like get a peek in. And I think that was like the biggest thing I learned. The one lesson I've took from this whole experience was, not everyone deserves your vulnerability. And I think, and it's tricky, because I feel like with art, it is like, it is about being vulnerable. It is about, you know, putting a piece of yourself in it.
Yeah,
and I felt like with YouTube, it was a little blurry, because it required a lack of privacy. And that's why when I finally found the confidence for filmmaking, it was this way of telling stories that wasn't at the expense of my privacy. I don't know. There's like I feel at peace. There's this anxiety over the past few years that I just couldn't get rid of. And I feel like it's like, you know, it's kind of simmered down. I'm a pretty anxious person, but it's a different kind of anxiety. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? No, it is. And there's like such a double-edged side to it where it's like, if you're not vulnerable for people, you're not real. Mm-hmm. You know, like you lose that piece of humanity that allows people to like see you as a real person. But like that's such a high cost to ask of people to remember that it's like, oh, yeah, there's like a human person on the other side of this. But mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Ellie. I think like the pivot into being able to like tell stories that don't have to be your own, you know, and that's why like I actually love that it's like, oh, have you had like this kind of misconnection story, and you're like, no. And I'm like, oh my god, amazing. Great, like perfect, because please I think especially with like your first film, like starting out with like having some separation, you know, so you don't have to come out and just be like, oh yeah, here's how it's based on my story of this, because mm-hmm. it's like that's exactly the same thing, and this, they're, you know, like, yeah, having that buffer is probably gonna be great. And also, it's such a cute fucking story. Like, I don't know, I really enjoyed it. It gave me strong, I mean, a, because I think it does appeal to like that era, especially. Like, I don't know why seeing someone on a flip phone like brought me so much joy.
Yeah.
I'm like, where did you dig up a flip phone? Like, did you?
Or just like the VCR itself? You know what I mean?
Yes!
Like, the VCR tapes? Like, that's.
That killed me. I'm like, where did this? I'm sorry, this kid is supposed to be, what, 16, Gen Z? I'm like, where is he digging up the little TV with the built in tape player? Yeah. Come on.
You can order that shit on Amazon.
Oh, like, you probably can. That's right.
My mom is trying to get me to convert all of our home videos, which is like insane.
My mom made me do that.
Tell her there's places that you just pay them to do that.
No,
you drop off the box
too,
and
it is
put
way
them all
too
on
expensive
DVD.
Though. To do, you, we have hundreds, and it costs you like $100 to do two.
No,
like,
it does not.
No, but it is expensive. $100 to do okay. 10. All right,
fine.
It's too expensive, so I will be using my labor. But how did you do it? Because it is difficult to do.
Was this thing called Elgato? Like, it was basically like I used my computer to like. I had to connect an Elgato connector thing to a VHS player, and then it like went straight to the computer, and then you can screen record the video in auto, but you have to like watch through
the whole thing. Yeah. And that's why, because we don't have a working VCR, so I had to try to buy one on Amazon, and there's a bunch, but it's difficult to find one that still works.
That's
like
so
I feel
funny.
Like I ordered one and then it still didn't work. I was like, no.
I know. I wonder what happened to, like, my parents sold their house, like, the house that we lived in when I was in, like, middle school and high school and stuff. They sold that house last year, and they were just like, I'm over this. Like, they just sort of washed their hands of the whole thing. They, like, brought in a guy who will be like, I'll run an estate sale and just, like, sell all your shit, and if I can't sell it, like, I'll get rid of it. And he gets to keep the money from whatever. And I'm like, dude, I know that there were I know they saved a bunch of stuff. Like kept a bunch of stuff that they wanted to keep. And I'm sure we kept like a bunch of home videos. But I'm like, there must have just been like random tapes full of like, oh, we like recorded the Gilmore Girls episode from the week on this VCR tape to like watch it later because we weren't home. There must have just been like random ass tapes. And I'm like, who got those? Like, where are they now?
I hope somebody is just watching your home videos.
Right?
Yeah.
I think we kept the home videos. I feel like we probably kept the home videos, but like.
Yeah. Elle, you have said that you like created stuff forever, like since you were young. Do you remember like the first thing you ever filmed or edited? Like that was not on YouTube. You know what I mean? That was just like for fun.
Me and my siblings always made music videos.
Nice.
Specifically Disney Channel.
Nice.
So like Joe Bros, Camp Rock, High School Musical. I started off with like Windows Movie Maker.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then transitioned to like my dad got me like a MacBook and then like did iMovie. So we just used to like, oh, like that was our favorite thing to do just in our free time together.
So you were dancing and singing in these music videos? Were you like writing a new story to the Disney Channel songs?
No, it would be like my sister. We would use my little brother a lot, so he would always be the guy. And then my sister would be the girl in it. And then, like, we would just, like, I don't know. Like, we would try to, like, replicate the videos, I'd say. Like, I remember, like, there's, like, an SOS by the Jonas Brothers. Like, I remember, like, we would just do by scene by scene. And we started off, like, we didn't have an editing software at first. And the camera my mom had, you could, like, clip the clips together. Like, if you record one clip and then you record another clip, and then you could combine the clips on the camera itself.
Oh, my God.
And so that's how we would do it. We would, like, record each scene. But, yeah, it would be just, like, I don't know, random. Like, sometimes we would do dances. So, I mean, it was a mix. It was a variety.
I love it. I need to watch the SOS music video now.
Did you?
I mean, I've definitely.
Vibe with the Jonas Brothers?
Oh, my God. I was obsessed with the Jonas Brothers. I went to a Jonas Brothers. I've told this story before. Lee knows it. But I chased their bus.
That's my dream.
I went to one of their shows. I was in high school. Actually, Demi Lovato opened for them, which was amazing.
I'm so
and I do remember that I was like, they'd just been in School of Rock. And I remember I was like, Demi's so good. But then the Jonas Brothers came on and I was like, ah. And then at the end of the concert, all of these like prepubescent teenage girls like crowd around and like head towards the back. And I just feel like I mindlessly followed everyone. And then all of a sudden their bus was coming. I saw Nick in the front of the bus in a white tee. And then everyone started running. I started running. We're all screaming. And I feel like afterwards I felt like I was in a trance. Like I almost like slapped out of it and was like, wait, what just happened? Like it was.
Oh, that's my dream.
Mania. Like that's how I can only.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
You describe it. Yeah. So, yes.
I think I actually
saw them on their most recent tour. I definitely did. Mm-hmm. When I was old. So.
Nope. I did too. I wish I saw them like during that era, like their like 2008.
Their peak.
Yes. No, that was like the things I would do to go to like teleport back, because I lived in Hong Kong at that time. So they weren't coming over there, but I loved them so much. But whenever they like got back, because they broke up and they got back together, I was like, me and my sister, I'm like, we are going. I'm spending whatever. And I met them. I bought meet and greet tickets. And like,
oh,
I was
my God.
Front row. And then I did the second night for the VIP bar. Like, I was like, I'm going to live out. Like, this is not going to happen again. But
that's awesome. Honestly, good for you. I didn't run after their bus the second time, but
I
was very happy at that concert. I'm not going to lie.
I knew all the, I love concerts. I'm like, it's very rare where I'm at a concert where I know like all the songs.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it was a really good time.
Honestly, they are so good. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not ashamed.
Yep.
Sorry, Lee. Are you not a Jonas Brothers fan?
It's not even that. I just feel like it was a different era for me. I'm like clearly aging myself here that I'm like,
it's okay.
I think I was too old for like the hype at that point.
Who would you have run? Let's say you would ever
Spice
run
Girls.
Screaming.
Spice
okay, well, yes. Okay,
down.
Well, yes. Same. I would definitely run after the Spice Girls. Mm-hmm. I've never seen them in
concert,
but
like the
though.
Spice Girls. Elle, you just said you thought the Jonas Brothers peak was what, like 2008?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the year I graduated from college.
So you wouldn't have been running after
me. No, I mean, it would have been, like, it was just, I was a little past that era of time. I would say for me, the Spice Girls peak was like, what, like late 90s?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Maybe?
Probably, yeah, 98, 99.
Right? Yeah, like I would say that was kind of like their peak time. So like, yeah, that for me, that I would have been like 12, 13. Like that's, yeah.
Yeah, 1990s.
It's just a different
1997 Spice World came out.
Yeah, so I was 10. Yeah, that feels right, right? Like
We are just talking about random shit, but I love it. I started a new band. It's called The Femmes, and we're all women and non-binary people. And so our whole thing is that we're only doing music by women and non-binary artists. And we had a rehearsal last week where we did Spice Up Your Life.
Amazing.
Ooh.
And it was the highlight of my entire life. Like, I've only ever sung that song by myself. Well, not by myself, really, but probably with my sister when we were just, like, in a car or, like, dancing in our room. So to hear, like, a live band play Spice Up Your Life was
this
some other
is relevant feeling. To my interests. Let's put
I know.
It that way.
Like, I'll send you the video, Lee.
Dude, see, but that's the thing. It's like, you're not ashamed of the Jonas Brothers. Like, I'm still not ashamed of loving the Spice Girls. Like, they're fucking bops. They're bops. I missed my exit driving home from college one time because I was, like, trying. It was back when you had to, like, have whatever converter to, like, plug your thing into your you had the little like tape deck converter for your iPod, I think, or something, like in my car. And I was like switching Spice Girls CDs like on my like giant brick of an iPod and missed my exit. Driving home just because I was rocking out. I'm like at top of my lungs singing along every song.
Yeah.
Spice Girls, man, they can still get it.
I'm just waiting. I think they're coming. Are they coming back on tour? Because I need to see them before I die.
I don't care, honestly,
I would see them if they
let a girl dream, okay? That's all I'm gonna say.
I would really dead. Okay, sorry about this. So let's get sort of back on track to whatever we were gonna talk about. Who knows? I want to talk about another one of your videos because it's, I feel like, one of your most iconic ones, and we can't not talk about it before we end our interview. But I would love to talk about your coming out video, because that's like, at least for me, I think that's the first video I ever saw of yours. Tell us about what that was like for you, because you were making videos before that.
Uh-huh. No, yeah. Oh, well, it's also interesting. I'm like, because my coming out video is my most popular video, and I come out as bi in it. But, you know, since then, I'm like definitely gay. But I'm like, okay. I can't do like a mass update. I'm like, yeah, I don't know how to update people. But no, yeah, when I remember, oh gosh, that was like 2017. So it was like when I started venturing, like, because I entered the YouTube space and I like had a bit of a following. And so I started traveling out. And I think once I got out of my hometown, it kind of opened my eyes and I met this girl and I just had a huge crush on her. I was just like, oh my gosh. I was like, I was just like, it was very
a relatable response. Yes.
Yes.
Indeed. queer stammering is. Yeah. Yeah.
So I think like that's, it was just kind of like, okay, I don't know. I feel like my video, if you watch it, it does revolve around that crush a lot. Like, yeah. The way I come out to my friends, I was just so like infatuated. I really honestly wanted to make a video for her. The way I came out to my friends, for those who haven't seen it, it was I described my crush to them and made them draw them out, and they all drew guys. And then at the end, I showed them a photo off screen of my crush, and they're all like, "Ah!" Oh. And
it's
so
super cute.
I really liked. I was like, when I because I think it went a period of time where I stopped watching it because, you know, and then I was like, that's actually like a clever idea. I'm proud of myself for coming up with that. But yeah, and then when coming up with that, I wanted to be very true to myself and like, so there was a lot of coming, I think at that time, there had been a lot of coming out videos on YouTube where people, usually it's people sitting down in like a very raw video. But I wanted to, like my channel, make it like a film. Like I think I romance, like my YouTube channel was a romanticization of my life. And I wanted it to feel like me. And I do think that's, you know, what I did. I wanted to go big. The way I came out to my family in it, I wrapped my house in rainbow wrapping paper, but also wanted to be like raw. I wanted the mix, you know? And I had like, it's so crazy because I've been thinking about it like a little bit over the past few months of like thinking back to that time, because I'm now so like open and like just like, you know, so I feel so me. And to think back to then, like I would cry like every other night and be like, I can't. And like, it was just like this, so it was so heavy and like it was so scary. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, because I do know everyone was so, I mean, I do know why, but like everyone was, I knew that no one would have a bad reaction. I think it was just more of, I wasn't very vulnerable with my family and friends anyway. And it felt like a very, very vulnerable thing to talk about. And honestly, I came out, that was my way of coming out to everyone in my life. Besides everyone who I came out to in the video, I kind of wanted to kill a bunch of birds with one stone. Like I feel like I stutter over my words a lot. And so I feel like that's why I use my YouTube videos. I feel like it was a way for me to share what I'm feeling and thinking, just because I'm not very good at, especially face to face. Like I'm just like all over the place. So it was just like my way of, you know, perfectly articulating my thoughts and feelings. But hopefully I answered your question. I'm like,
yes. Yes.
No, well, absolutely.
I rewatched it today too, and I really understand what you're saying about like, I had a similar experience. I didn't film it. Like, that's so like vulnerable, and like, so I can understand why like that was really hard for you. But when there's that part of you really like talking about how difficult it is for you, like you're scared what other people are going to think and all of that, like I understood that completely. Even being knowing, like, even if you know, like your brain knows, oh, like people are most likely going to be supportive, there's a huge amount of like just society that makes it really hard, even for people who are surrounded by people who are open. Like, and it's
just an angsty time. I mean, there's like no way around it.
It's so much happening inside of you. Like, it's so much. And then you're like, there's the excitement of a new crush. But then there's also like, yeah, you're terrified of like, okay, so I thought my life was going to look like this and it's not going to look like that. And you're not quite sure what that new life is going to look like. But then same thing. I mean, for us, I'm like, well, I was talking to my girlfriend today about, and I was like, yeah, it'd be so crazy if like being gay was just like all you talked about, like joking. I'm like, it's all I talk about. Like, everyone.
You're like, sorry, I got to go make my big gay podcast now.
Am I gay? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I got to go film my lesbian podcast. But like,
so silly.
It is like in the moment, it is so difficult. Mm-hmm. Like, so difficult. So, I mean, I think just the fact that like you could make that, and I think that that's been such a trend over the past however many years, and like trend sounds like a bad word, but I don't mean it in that way. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's great that people, like when people see those videos, they can see themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like, hopefully, even if they have a super visceral reaction to them, to figuring out themselves, they know that they're not the only person who's feeling that. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh yeah. Yeah. I think that was something that was hard for me to grasp, as because I was like 19 when I posted that. I don't think I think only years later was I able to understand like how important Mm-hmm. That is like, I feel like a lot, I've always had people come up to me and be like, your coming out video made me feel okay to come out too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like a hard concept to grasp. And I don't think I understood until, I don't know, like I think the more you see representation, it's just like, it seems like a very obvious thing, but I don't know, the more representation is happening on just everywhere, online, on TV, movies. I don't know. Like there is the shift. Like I feel that I just even think back to when I first came out versus now. I'm like, there's just so much that has already changed. And like, you know, we're headed in a good direction. And I don't know. I think I'm very happy. Like, I think there was a period of time where I resented that video. Not sure. I don't know why. I'm trying to remember why, but I think it was just like, I don't know. I don't know why I resented it. And now, because now it seems like stupid that I resented it, but.
I'm like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like, did you feel like it like pigeonholed you in a way? Or no? Like that it like sort of put you in a box of like,
yeah, a little
you're
bit.
Like,
yeah.
I've been creating all of this content. Like, yes, I am also gay.
Yes. And also, but honestly, I came out, I remember this, I came out, I think, prematurely. Because I've like since then have realized I'm not bi, I'm gay. And I think like that was something like I think there was definitely subconsciously I was feeling like it was not the right label maybe. And like also like with my family and friends, it was like I came out and then I never talked about it with them. Like it wasn't like we were comfortable. Like I still wasn't very comfortable in my sexuality after I came out. And mm-hmm. it was very confusing because I was like this poster child for like the community when I wasn't able to have like tell my mom I had a crush on a girl, you know, like so I think since moving to LA and just like, you know, becoming an adult, I think like I'm just so much more comfortable in my sexuality. Like everything I talk about is gay, like, you know, and that wasn't true like a few years ago. So it's like I'm so happy about how much more I'm comfortable in that. And I do think like now that's why I don't resent it because, you know, I love being gay.
Yes.
As we all should. Agreed. I mean,
yes.
But it's also like, sorry, because I'm going to segue us back to the movie as well. But because I feel like there's so many connections, and I think that's why like the movie's super cute and I think like resonates for a lot of queer people, is one of the things that was really interesting about it to me, because I think there was a lot about it where it's like the style, the filming, the fact that because it's set in the aughts and so it's like, you know, the wardrobe and stuff, like I was like, I kept having flashbacks to like the web series, because that was, you know, like the like when I was in college, like that was, I feel like, high peak years of like queer rep only in web series and stuff like that. So like the Anyone But Me years and like all those shows. And what I think was interesting is that it's not those, and I think it's still made with a lot more of the sensibilities of like how much the queer community and queer representation has changed since then and has grown since then in a lot of ways. And some of the things that I actually really enjoyed about it is it's like, it's, you don't have, there's no coming out in there, right?
And that was like, intentional, yeah.
There's no like angsty like conversation about like, what does it mean that I feel this way? You're clearly into me. Let's unpack that. Like that I feel like we had to do with so many shows at that time, you know, of like, what does this mean? What do you mean you're gay? What does that even mean? Like, you know, like that kind of like the PSA styleness of it. Mm. That is just not there. It's just not even there. And there's something that I actually thought was so stinking cute about having this like missed connection style thing with the like clear Gen Z son who's like, oh, my mom's probably gay. That's not the point here. But like, maybe she was happy with you. Like, unknown lady. Like and that to me just feels like so accurate, you know, of like where a 16-year-old today would be. And I'm like, that is so not where a 16-year-old was in 2002, you know, like that's those are worlds away from each other. And there, I just thought that was really great. Like there was just something really great about getting to watch like the clear flirting and vibes, and like even still like the, you know, like, oh, we're clearly flirting and my boyfriend just walked in, awkward.
Oh my god, that scene killed me.
I know. It's a lot, but like, but that didn't have to become like a oh my God, I'm into you and you're a girl. What does that mean? The boyfriend mm-hmm. being like, who is that? Who is she? Are you into girls now? What does that mean? Like, there wasn't any of that, you know? And it's like almost refreshing to be like, yeah, like we don't have to put everyone into boxes. There's uh-huh. just like, hey, I found this tape of like your clear summer crush that never turned into anything. Mm-hmm. You still single? No. My mom is. Bye. Like,
no, thank you. I mean, I appreciate it because that was intentional. I think all like those shows and films where the coming out aspect is involved, like I think those are so great and very important. But I do think we're shifting to where we don't have to have that aspect in it. It can just be a love story. And I wanted that. I wanted it to be especially very innocent between these two girls because I mean, there's been heart stoppers between. I just watched the episode last night. I forget the characters' names, but I think like something for the girls was it's always been that's kind of my goal with my feature too. I don't think there's not a coming out aspect with it there too, and I think that's like where we're headed. I feel like more and more, at least in my life, I feel like no one feels the need to come out anymore. I feel like it's just becoming so normalized.
Yeah,
at least I mean I probably do live in a little bit of a bubble, but I do think it's more and more, and maybe if it's, I don't know for you guys, but
yeah, I mean, I think that's very accurate. I feel similarly, but also like same thing, like just surround myself with gay people, so like I'm not quite sure if that statement is accurate as widely spread, but I do think we talk about this a million times on this podcast because like a big thread of our show is representation matters, which like it does. Mm-hmm. So I do think like having more representation is just going to make, people not be so like, oh, they're like, oh, yeah, this is just I like a girl and it's fine.
Well, and it's also it's interesting because you're just talking about like your coming out video where you're like, hey, I made this video. It's the most watched video on my channel. I label myself a label that no longer applies to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's something that like, I mean, obviously I get it. Like, it's hard to steer away from, you watch so many shows and or like movies or whatever. And it's just like, yeah, like a character changes their label and you immediately got to slap a new one on and know what it is so that everybody's on the same page. And it doesn't leave a lot of room for that like flexibility or change or fluidity that I think that like we, especially as queer people, are like really embracing more so than I think even our community has done in the past, you know, where it's like, yeah, the idea that people can't like that your gender is going to be different like one day to the next, or that like your sexuality can change and evolve and might be more related to like the people that you're around and who you happen to meet or be attracted to or fall in love with than like a strict like here's the box I'm in and here's the like, you know, okay, here's the my name is label of like what I am today. Like, yeah, you don't have to do that. Like, you don't have to. They didn't have to, in reply, like, have, you know, this whole conversation being like, oh, my God, I have a boyfriend, but now I'm clearly flirting with this girl. What does that mean? I'm bisexual. Maybe I'm not. Is she gay? I don't even know. Like, it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not relevant to the story.
Gay. Let's be real.
You're like, that girl wields some power tools like a damn dyke. Okay,
excessively gay.
Also, I'm just saying. Oh God, wait, I think
what's
it's
that actor?
That's,
what's
nice.
That actor's name though?
It's
because nice. She's in *Do Revenge*.
Ava Capri.
Yeah. Which is one of our favorite movies. Do you like that movie?
Yes, so good.
Like, such a good movie.
What a fucking good movie.
And such a gay movie. So good.
Listen, I'm just gonna say, based on the early aughts rom com era things that you named as well, this is like. We're talking about a topic episode, but every other week our other episodes are a segment that we call Should Have Been Gay, and many of the ones that you named we have covered.
John Tucker Must Die.
Oh, John Tucker Must Die. We did like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
yep. Did like, Should Have Been Gay on that.
Don't date John. Date each other. That's it.
Yes. All four of you, please. And thank you. So I'm just saying they might be of interest. That's all. But yeah, no. I'm with you, Ellie, but also I just think it was nice that it was very nice. Didn't have to go there.
Before we wrap up, can we discuss wardrobe in reply?
Yeah. Yes.
like number one, love the wardrobe choices. Where did you find them all? how did you make these choices? Because it's very like of the time and also signals to everyone that these girls are queer.
Yes. I mean, just had an amazing costume designer, Rossi Sorkin. She came with this huge deck, and because what I said to her was like, it's Wes Anderson-esque. I want it to feel, she's like, do you want it to actually feel like they're in the 2000s? I'm like, I want it to not, it doesn't have to be like exactly what people wore in the 2000s, but I want it to feel like, yeah, it's like 2000s inspired, but oh, I want it to feel like people would be able to wear it today. Like I want it,
hey,
like
Gen
I wasn't
Z's
trying
bringing
to,
it all back, okay?
Yes,
I know, I want those overalls, give them to me.
No, yes. It's like I feel like a bunch of people from the set took some of the costumes.
Yeah, they're amazing.
People wearing them. No, nice. Yeah, they're so great. It really complimented with the cinematography. But yeah, no, she killed it. I'm obsessed with the costumes too. I feel like that's one of the top compliments I hear from Reply.
Because it was just so good. Mm-hmm. Like, you just could tell from the second that Hayden walked on screen. Like,
oh, yeah. That's just walks on to Unlove for You, so and you're like, yeah.
Yeah, you're just like the like crop top vibe, the like beanie at one point. I don't feel like Hayden was not wearing a beanie. I forget the other character's name.
Casey.
Casey was wearing a beanie with like the tie-dye.
Oh, yeah.
With the overalls. Like that look with only one strap on. Like that was... Just,
I love that you remember it so well
because it
Ellie's making mental notes.
I was
She's
like,
I'm buying this outfit.
Like, we'll buy this outfit.
Yeah,
where can I get it? This episode.
See, meanwhile, I was
by.
Just having like the flashbacks to like, Hayden's hair. I had that haircut as well. Yeah,
yeah.
There it is. There's the short queer bob. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was perfect. Anything else you want to let our listeners know about Reply or any of your film work before we go to our Q&A?
Reply, you can watch it on creatorplus.com/reply. You can rent it. And yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
Perfect. Amazing. And it is for sure worth a watch. So
Thank
cute.
You.
Like, get together, a little date, watch it.
It is short. I wanted to warn people.
It is short, but I will say, like, it's perfect for, like, an early lesbian date, right? Because it's like,
oh, yeah.
Watch it. It's like about the time you would start making out. You were watching a full-length feature. So like, watch the 15 minutes and then have the rest of your date. Like, it's
pick up a girl in the bathroom, bring them home, watch Reply.
Yes. So cute. All right. Let's go to our Q&A. You ready?
Q and gay.
Question number one. Have you ever had the one who got away? A, yes. B, no. Or C, this sounds creepy, but they never got away.
They never got away.
Yeah. Oh,
nice.
All right, perfect. You know what I mean.
Question two. Now, you can be biased as you want answering this, but we'll also put these up on our Twitter for our listeners to answer. So, question two, what's your favorite L. Mills video out of A, coming out, B, what happened to L. Mills, or C, Reply?
Or you can do another write-in.
Or you can write in, yeah.
YouTube video? I'd say from YouTube videos, my first kiss.
Okay. Mm.
Like things I haven't like directed, like there wasn't a crew, like just me.
I'm going to add it as an option.
Yeah.
And then I'd say, I guess, Reply. Reply.
That's fair.
Yeah. Nice. All right. Question number three. What's your favorite aughts throwback? A, VHS tapes, B, flip phone, or C, bootcut jeans?
VHS tapes, eh?
Yes.
I have a bunch in my room. I have like that TV that Sam, like he uses is, that's mine.
Oh my God.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh my God. How big is the screen on that? It's like 6 inches, six inch.
Nice.
Yeah.
Amazing. Question four. Where would your meet cute happen? A, Trader Joe's, B, Home Depot, C, Queer Bar Bathroom, or D, Tarot Reading?
I think maybe Tarot Reading out of all of those.
Nice. Okay, nice. Have you had a meet cute in an interesting place ever? Like, what's the weirdest?
Nothing crazy. I guess, like, yeah, no.
Have you, other than the bar bathroom, Ellie? What do you what
have
are you getting
I?
At
here? No, I was just curious.
Mm.
That's a good question.
Mine are all pretty mundane.
Ellie's like, people are just hitting on me everywhere I go.
Yeah. No,
it's hard to remember.
Stop it.
I beat them away with a stick. God.
But I don't
can't
remember.
Walk out my front door.
My front door. Yes. No, I'm just kidding. I'll think on that. I'll think on that. I got nothing. All right. Oh, wait. No, I do have a good one. But it was no, but it was straight. So it was really like.
No one wants to hear that. Come on.
It was like the year before it came out. And it was actually like the coolest meet cute. It was like when I was in New York City. And I had just gotten back from an audition and I was in this like cute dress and I was really feeling myself. And I saw this guy on the train and he was very cute. So it wasn't like I was actually like quote unquote straight. And I looked at him and he looked at me. And then I got off the train and I was walking outside of the train station and he had followed me. That sounds so creepy, but he followed me, but I wanted him to. Like, I had looked at him in a way that said, like, hey. And then he asked me out on a date on the streets of New York.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then I went on a date with him, and I had gay panic, and I came out, like, 3 weeks later.
I love it. I love it.
Wait, is it bad that now I'm pretty sure actually my, like, legit only meet cute in my life is also straight and also immediately precedes me coming out, because I went on a
sounds
college
right.
tour and met this kid on my college tour who was also like super into me, and I think we exchanged like AIM handles and then started dating over AIM, and then he was supposed to come to my prom with me. Like, I had asked him to, like, be my prom. He lived in a different state. Like, I was in Connecticut. I think he lived in New Hampshire. Yeah. So he, like, drove down, like, to Connecticut to, like, go on a couple dates with me. And then I, like, invited him to prom and he was supposed to come to prom. And then I had to have a whole plan of, like, I have to tell this kid I am not taking him to prom because I am taking a girl. Whoops.
That is
so anyways, go meet cutes. Making people gay. Making people gay. Whatever. Meet
sorry,
cutes
man.
Are for the gays only, actually.
So sorry. He was very nice, but
so was
not,
the guy I dated. Yeah, he was really
right.
nice kid.
Just not right. All right, question number 5. Who would you have chased on a bus? A, Jonas Brothers. B, Backstreet Boys. C, Spice Girls. Or D, One Direction?
A, Jonas Brothers.
Yes.
I feel like I should have added some like older options. I know we have listeners who are going to be like, I am too old for all of these. But...
Is the Beatles too old of an option?
The Bee Gees. Who would you have chased? Yeah.
I feel like, who would I have chased in the 70s? I would still chase Carole King. That's like so.
Mamas and the Papas.
Yeah, yeah.
Could have chased them.
The 60s was a good time for music, let's be real. But I would definitely. I already chased the Jonas Brothers, and I would definitely chase the Spice Girls. Great answers. All right. Great answers to our Q&A. Remember, everyone, you can give us your own answers to this episode's Q&A questions on our Twitter at Let's Hang Out Pod.
Elle, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Let all of our listeners know, if they don't know, where can they find you? Where can they find your stuff?
Yeah, you can. I pretty much just use Instagram.com/L.Mills. And then YouTube, if you want to check out some of my work, youtube.com/ElleTheMills. But more importantly, we want to watch my short film Reply, creatorplus.com/reply.
Yes, and we will share that link with all of you. Any other new projects coming up, or you're working on your feature? Anything
working on
else?
My feature. I think that I'm working on, like, I'm directing something pretty cool, but I don't think by the time this is out, I can share that. I think, but I wrote an essay for the New York Times, kind of talking about the stuff that we were talking about with what happened to Elle Mills. And I think that will be out by the time this is out. And that's my first time, like, writing. I don't know. It was, like, really weird writing it, because I'm, like, it was very therapeutic, but also reminded me of school. So it's interesting. But, yeah, I think that will be out. But
thank you so much for hanging out with us. This has been so fun.
Thank you so much. I had a lot of fun. I like that. I like the questions.
Good questions.
Good
weird questions.
Good. We've done it.
Let me hear you say hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from you and building community, so we want to shout out some of our favorite things each episode. We'd like to give a shout out to Walter, who reached out on Facebook to recommend Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. Many people have recommended this, Lee. I think it might be time.
Can I tell you what's so funny? I did a search in our published episodes because
you
I was
felt
like haven't
we've
we done
before?
This?
We've yeah, never done it.
I know, and I could swear that we had. So yes, I think it is for sure moving up on our list, oft requested. Mm-hmm. So
and,
amazing.
And quite gay.
Yes. We're going to have a lot to say. We also want to shout out Mariah, who reached out on Instagram DMing us to say that their cat has six toes and is named Tyrone after Count Rugen in
that
The Princess Bride.
An incredible
I die. Can I tell you I die? Cat. It's amazing. I love it so much. So thank you, Mariah, for letting us know. That is exactly the content we crave.
We would also like to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, as always, Mark Foster,
Tanya Ferguson,
Sarah and Julia,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
A.D. Benitez,
Fiona W.,
and Sophia Phillips.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Andrea Doucette,
and Julia Gonzalez. Thank you all so much, and to all of our patrons. We absolutely could not keep doing this show without you.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Let's Hang Out Pod.
You can email us at letshangoutpod@gmail.com.
Or check out our website at letshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use to listen to podcasts, make sure that you subscribe. That way you'll get new episodes as soon as they go up.
We're also posting videos on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/letshangoutpod to catch them.
Let's Hang Out is an independently produced podcast. It's hosted by us with audio production by Ellie. Our production assistant is Kristen Murison, and Twitter shenanigans and various other graphics work is done by me.
If you want to support the podcast, the easiest way to do that is rate and review us on iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcast.
If you want to join our Patreon, you can support us by getting access to ad-free episodes. You can join our Les Essentials watch parties. We just had our last one for The Handmaiden, and we will be having more for our next Les Essentials soon. You get access to our Discord chat, all sorts of fun stuff. You can find it at bit.ly/lespatreon.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, you can get that at bit.ly/lesshop. It is always a good time to get a gay shirt or a gay mug or a gay tote.
Remember, we also have a queer production company making queer podcast musicals with guaranteed happy endings that you can find everywhere at Dollar Bean Prod.
Or at our website, dollarbeanproductions.com.
You can check out all of the episodes of our first show, The Flame, on any podcasting app.
And if you want to help support us in making more musicals, you can join our Patreon at bit.ly/dollarbeanpatreon.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.